because that's what was on my mind the other morning.
Let's just all stand and sing that one in. 178. Let's all stand. Did you say 178?
Yeah.
178.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise the Lord. When we get that, then the song we sung before that, Being Free. Aren't you glad that you got set free one day? I thank the Lord for the freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And I thank God for the liberty and the freedom that comes with knowing Him. Praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles, you turn with me to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. This is a song of hope. And felt like the Lord would have me to share this morning. If you would, stand with me. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 46. I'm going to read the whole chapter. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease, and to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our refuge, Selah. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for your blessings, all your mercy and grace. Father, I'm so thankful for your Spirit. I'm so thankful for your salvation. I'm thankful for the Son that makes that salvation possible. I'm thankful for the Spirit that convicts hearts and draws us to you. I thank you, Lord, for everything you have done and set up for our well-being. Lord, and I'm so thankful that we can run to you for safety. Lord, that we don't have to fear. God, that we've got you and you are our refuge. Lord, at our very present help in time of trouble. And Lord, I pray today that you would encourage our hearts. And Lord, if there be one under the sound of my voice today in this building that don't know you, this would be the day that they would call out with a sincere heart and ask you to come into their hearts. Change them. Lord, save their souls. Father, if there be any here today that may be kind of wandering away, and Lord, you'd speak to the hearts today and draw and renew the relationship. Lord, it may just be some with a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, a lot of things going on. Lord, I pray for your touch in that area. God, may you be exalted and uplifted today, and may you draw all of us to you. Speak to each one of us, and we could truly say when we leave, we're different than we was when we came in. Praise your name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, this psalm is written, and it's, as I'd said, a song of hope. You know, fear is something that it's paralyzing when we allow fear to creep in. And the dictionary said a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger or pain. And as we're today and in the world today, and we look around and we think, you know, we got a lot of things that could bring fear into our lives and our hearts today. And there's this thing going around, they call it coronavirus. That's bringing a lot of fear. That's bringing a lot of anxiety for a good reason. I mean, it's a, we don't know a lot about it, and this fear is also rolling right over into the stock market. The stock market is going every which way because of the uncertainty, the anxiety, the not knowing, the fear, and maybe another is a shortage of goods. I don't know why in the world everybody needs so much toilet paper. But we fear drives and causes to do things that we normally don't do. And causes us to react in a different way and stresses us out. And we see the world tension rising. We got an election. Wow, that sure make you fear. You know, we're worried about the health of ourselves and the health of our loved ones. And a lot of things on our minds and our hearts this morning. A lot of folks, we've got a lot of anxiety. We've got a lot of things that's causing, brings tears to our eyes. You know, fear can be paralyzing. Fear can paralyze us and will not be any benefit for anybody. Now, everything I've went through is good concerns. And I'm saying we be cautious in everything we do. Don't react out of fear. Don't let fear cause us to do things we normally wouldn't do. And it happens. But I feel like this morning the Lord wanted me to share, and let's go through this chapter here in the Bible. See, fear is used as tactics sometimes to accomplish goals. Or to get you to spend your money and buy their product. Oh, we've got an awful problem, but if you buy this right here, this will be the answer. Amen? And so a lot of folks use fear, and fear is used different things. We live in an uncertainty. We're concerned about our loved ones. We're concerned about our marriages. We're concerned about loneliness, our finances, retirement. Our kids, our parents, medical expenses, wow. Medical insurance, you know, a lot of things, but Psalm 46 is a song of hope and confidence. In the Bible, and Psalms, back in when this Bible was written and back in the days of the apostles and in the Old Testament, they didn't have the old red hymnal. This was their song hymnal, the book of Psalms. They would read them, and they would sing them. And the word Selah, you remember, and I normally don't say it in the, when I go through the book of Psalms, but the word Selah, and it happened three times in this passage. It's the end of verse 3, and then at the end of verse 7, and then at the end of verse 11. And that word is a musical cue. And it is a note of pause. That is the end of a stanza. You know, we sing stanzas, and that is pretty much, in, especially in this one, that's the end of each stanza. There are three stanzas in this psalm, in this song. And so that as we look through this psalm this morning, that we want to take it and look at it as a song. And Martin Luther used this psalm when he was in threat of his life, and how many's ever heard the song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God"? Most have sung it several times. Martin Luther wrote that song out of this psalm. It encouraged him. And he was in a life-threatening situation, and I'll probably share with you if time permits a little bit. But I want to look at these three different stanzas this morning. The first in verses 1 through 3, God is our source of hope. You know, when fear rises and problems rise and difficulties and uncertainty, God is our source of hope. If you want hope today, trust in the Lord. You want hope in God and you want hope in the world crisis, trust in Jesus Christ more than you ever have. You may never ask Him into your heart, ask Him into your life to be the Lord of your life. Today would be a good day. But trust the Lord. Depend upon Him. The Bible says God is our refuge. He is our place to run and hide. I believe that, and Chip Ingram said it, refuge is a place, and we've seen it in movies. You ever been where you've run and run, and you see, and you slam the door, and you say, whew. That's what a refuge is. That's what he's speaking of here. That we can run, and we can run, and we can be tore up, but man, when we slam that door, whew, everything's all right. Praise the Lord. And that's where he's speaking of, and that's what he's talking about here in this psalm. The fear and the problems and the turmoils and the troubles and the uncertainty and all the things we can't control, and it's got us blown out of our mind, we run to him. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. And then when we get in and slam that door, woo, glory, hallelujah. And that is what he's speaking of here. It's not some shelter, it's not a cave. The God of the universe says, I'm with you. The one that said, let there be light, is saying, I'm your hiding place. I'm where you can go. Not a person, not some situation in some place, but the God of the universe has said, I got your back. Whoo! That ought to release some of those tensions. That ought to release some of those fears. That ought to release some of the problems that we deal with and are concerned about, that God is with us. Praise His name. He's saying, I'll wrap my arms around you and I'll take care of you. I'll be with you until the end. He said in the book of Hebrews, I'll not leave you and I'll never forsake you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. If I go away, I'm coming back to get you. And where I am, there you'll be also. Praise the Lord. What a blessed hope. What a common. Is this common to you this morning? It ought to be. It's somewhere we can run. It's something we can trust in. It is not something that a man has concocted and come up with, but God, the God of the universe, is saying, I am your refuge and strength. See, a refuge is external, but strength is internal. He said, I'm going to be the place you can run to, but while you're running and all of this you're going through, I'm going to be your strength. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to calm your nerves inside. I'm going to settle your fears inside. I'm going to intervene in your life. And it's not strength for tomorrow. It's strength for today. We needed graces minute by minute. He don't add us up and fill up for next month. He don't come. We can't go and say, God, go ahead and give me my worth right now, and that way I'm ready to go. It's minute by minute, day by day. He knows what I need tomorrow, and the Bible said in the book of Lamentations, we have new mercies every morning. We have new things every morning. And so that He is not only our refuge, but He's our strength. It's power to endure minute by minute. Have you ever noticed that there's things in our lives that we've thought, I'll never be able to go through that. There is no way possible that I can humanly and physically go through that. And then it happens. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a shoulder that you can lean on. And you can't explain it, but it's there. And as you're going through and going through the details and doing everything, oh, it's so bad. but there's a peace. And there's a comfort. And there's something soul settling that just settles and comes upon you, and you think, even in the midst of all this trouble, there's still peace. There's still a help in this time, that He's our refuge and our strength. It's that strength of Almighty God that'll get you up in the morning. It's that strength that'll get you through the next trial. It's that strength that'll get you through the next virus. This won't be the last one that we'll ever see. This one will pass through, and it may be, I don't have a clue, and I'm not downplaying it by no means, and there's no telling what happens. But when it passes, then there'll be another one coming. Then there'll be something else that'll come. We may be attacked by enemies. We may have something else, but whatever, there's problem after problem that's going to arise as long as we live. But boy, I'm glad I've got that inner strength of God to encourage me through these hard times. The power to endure. The grace to make it through the next crisis. And then he said that the Bible says he's a very present help in trouble. When in trouble. I wrote it out. I printed it out. But Martin Luther took a stand, and as we know, he's the father of a Reformation. And he wrote 97, 98 theses and put them on the wall. And the church kicked him out. They were meeting with him. He put him in the tower, said they were going to meet with him and decide what they were going to do with him. Well, they'd already decided they were going to kill him. He was in this tower. They were getting ready. They came and got him, put him in a wagon, was taking him to have him executed. And there's some folks coming on horses and swept him out and rescued him. Took him off, put him in a castle. He was there about a year. And they took care of him that year. And it was in that year that the first translation of the Bible was written to put to the language of common man in German English. In that year of he ran for his life, God used him greatly in the Reformation of the church. Wow. And in our hard times and in our troubles, and that is in that time he used this psalm and he wrote, "Mighty fortress is our God." That was his thought and what he took out of that situation. See, we got all the graces that we need for today. Matthew 6:34 says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Well, he said, don't spend the day worrying about tomorrow, because there's enough things today to keep you occupied without worrying tomorrow, and then there's going to be enough tomorrow that'll concern you then. And so he's saying, don't worry about things. The second thing that I see, we have God is our source of hope, and God's presence is the reason of hope. This is the next stanza, starting at verse 4. "There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge." His presence will be with you. You know, isn't it good that God's presence supplies an unlimited amount of peace? His presence is unbelievable. As I remember, and I think I've shared with you, and I remember one time being in my study, and I was praying, and I was seeking the Lord, and had been reading the Bible, and the power of God was so strong in my study. His presence was so overwhelming. I laid flat on the floor trying to get underneath it. Wow. The peace that comes through His presence and the security that we get. You know, looking at verse 4, it says, there is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God. When you think of a river or the stream, what is it you think of? There is nothing more peaceful and more calming than the trickling of a spring, of a stream or the river. There's a lot of people's made a lot of money selling CDs and cassettes with no music, just running water. A little trickling sound, a little trickling, wow, the peace and the comfort of the settling of it. I want you to look at the difference between verse 4 and verse 3. See, he's talking of this river and these streams. And now in verse 3, he says, through the waters thereof roar and troubled and the turmoil. And the difference between verse 3 and 4, in the world there's all the trouble and all the trials and all the turmoil and everything, but in God and His presence is the peace, is the calming of being with Him. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good for us today? I want to ask you this morning, you don't say it out loud, but what's your greatest fear? Right now, we've all got them. What is it? And just take just a second and kind of think. And what it say? If it's one thing I'm really concerned about, my greatest fear, what would it be this morning? And as we think about that, see, His presence is an unlimited supply. If we will allow Him to take this problem, we allow Him. See, He said there is a river. And the city of God, probably, it could be Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem, I'm sure. But it could be either be the natural Jerusalem or the spiritual Jerusalem. See, when a city's back in these days and they will build a fortress, and they said Jerusalem at that time was really a fortress and a lot of rocks and a lot of hills and the walls and everything. And the biggest thing, if an army would besiege you, the biggest concern would be they'd starve you out or they'd get rid of your drinking water. You could build up enough food, but the drinking water was the big thing. And in Jerusalem, there was in fact, if you go back in Samuel, David took over, or his main guy took over Jerusalem when they took it from the Jebusites by going through the aqueduct, going through the water. And there is a water from the upper Gihon Springs to the Pool of Siloam. And that pool, we read about it in the Bible, it was good fresh water inside the city. It was the spring of God. No matter what was going on outside the city, no matter how many warriors was out there and how much they were besieging and what trouble was out there, they was okay because there was a stream inside the city. Their water, their comfort, and and God met their needs and gave them a supply. That is who he's saying here, that there is a stream from the city of God. There is a spiritual city. And if you look in the book of Revelation chapter 22, that it says that there's a pure river. Let me turn over. 22 verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. No matter what goes on in this world, there's a better place. There's a better home that's been prepared, and there's a river that runs right out of the throne of God that He is in control. It's still on the throne. I don't care what the stock market does Monday, He's still on the throne. I don't care what any other nation does, He's still in charge.
I don't care what conditions, what we go through, God is still on the throne. He's still in charge, and there's nothing that happens to His children unless it's filtered through His hand. If you remember when God, Moses said, Lord, let me see Your glory. He said, get on the rock, get back in the cleft, and I'll put My hand over you, and when I pass by, you'll see the hind part of My glory. He was built all around, and anything that could have got to Moses had to come through God's hand. Glory, hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you're saved and on your way to heaven, there ain't a thing in hell or a thing in this world that can bother you unless God allows it. And when He allows it, He'll make you better through it. You'll come out with a better testimony and more strength and more ready for the next battle that's ahead. Glory, I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And then the refrain, the God of Jacob is our refuge. We have this fortress, highly positioned. Enemies can't reach you. And you think, you remember who Jacob was? You might say, that's not a real good example, Tim. His name means deceiver. He was always a conniver. He lied, stole birthright from his brother. Did everything. But then it says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. What's that mean? I mean, Jacob didn't always get it right. And even though we don't get it right, He's still our God. He's still our refuge. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. You mess up tomorrow, you mess up Thursday, He's still your God. He's still in control. Isn't that good? I don't know about you, but I have to depend upon that because I'm not perfect. Rhonda thinks I am, but I'm really not. I'm confessing this morning. But for the Jacobs and the ones, and we don't always get it right, preacher. He's still God, and He still loves you. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He knew we were rotten when He died for us. But He did it anyway. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, and what happens sometimes that when we do get hit by the crisis of life, wham, we get knocked down. We didn't see it coming. Often, we'll run from God instead of to Him. I don't know why, but we ought to run to Him. But lots of times we run, we'll turn and go the other way when these things. And lots of times we'll say it's God's fault, or we'll blame God and say, why did You let this happen? But instead of that, we ought to run to Him. In verses 1 through 3 is the what, we have a promise. Verses 4 through 7 is a why, we have a reason. And then verses 8 through 11, we have the how, an invitation. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease and to the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Look at verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. When Elijah was running and all this trouble and turmoil, and he went in and there was the storms, the hurricanes, the everything came, and it said that God still wasn't in him. But then the still small voice came. God spoke to him. Here He said, be still, know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. There's two commands in this, and
The first one, it, come and see. You must come to Him. You've got to come to Him and trust Him. You remember when the disciples was out on the sea and the waves started raging and everything was going bad and the boat was full of water. They were going down. And then they saw Jesus walking on the sea. And the Bible said they hollered out to Him, but He would have walked on by. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, until they invited Him in, He was going to walk on by. He had walked with them. They were turning in their house. He will not force Himself upon you. He will not force salvation upon you. He will not force His comfort and peace upon you. But it's available. Amen. When they called upon Him, He intervened. And what a blessing of both of these. It's the invitation. He has given an invitation. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. I know I slaughtered them verse. I can quote them right off, but come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Praise His name this morning. It's the invitation being given. Then the next one is, He says, be still and know that I am God. This means to, you think of be still, but means to cease striving, to surrender. See, how often in our lives, and I speak personally, I try to fix things. I mean, we try to do it ourselves. And we want to not to have to call upon anybody. I've got this. This is mine, and I've owned it, and I'm going to take care of it. Well, it's good that we own it. But He said, be still. Let Me have it. You've dealt with it for a long time. You ain't doing too good, so won't you turn it over to Me? Let Me have this. Let Me have this situation. Let Me have this scare. Let Me have this fear. Let Me have this financial need. Let Me have this difficulty, this anxiety. You, it's driving you crazy, and it's driving you up the wall. The woman that had the issue of blood in there in Luke 8 or 9, I forget exactly which one, but she came and said that she had been to the doctors for 11 years. She'd spent everything that she had ever had. Sounds like her medical field's a lot like ours, isn't it? She had spent every dime she had. She was broke, no hope. But she said, if I can touch His garment, woo, glory, hallelujah. If I can get through the crowd, she was not supposed to be in the crowd. She had work, it was just like a coronavirus. She was not supposed to be in that crowd that day. She was ceremonially unclean. She was physically unclean. She wasn't allowed to be out. She couldn't go to the temple. She couldn't be out with people. But she said, I know. I don't care what I got to do. If I can get to Him, everything's going to be all right. If I can just lay my hands on His garments. At the end of the garments was tassels. And if you look, it's in the Old Testament. Read it just the other day. But those tassels, when you see those tassels, and they were put on their garments to remind people what God's Word says. I believe when she seen those tassels, she thought of back in Isaiah where He said, by His stripes we are healed. Glory, hallelujah. She clung to what God's Word said. And this morning, if whatever we're dealing with and whatever the trouble that we have and whatever we're going through, just remember that tassel. Run and grab a hold of it. God's Word says He's going to be with you and help you and deliver you. The disciples had rowed all night in another account of out on the sea. The boat was getting full. They were going down. There was no hope. They woke Jesus up and said, glory, you know, Jesus was resting on the promises of God. Praise the Lord. They went and woke him up and said, Lord, don't you care. We're dying. We're going down. This is it. This is the big one. As Fred Sanford used to say, it's a big one, Esther. And you're asleep. And you remember Jesus got up and he said these words, peace be still. Immediately, the waves quit and the winds quit blowing. And he delivered them. This morning, that fear I asked you about, whatever it is that's going on in your life, you may think, folks around you, don't nobody care that we're perishing? Don't God even care? I've not heard from him. And I want to go a step further and say, quiet from the Lord is not always that he don't hear you. We studied in Sunday school this morning. David had a zeal, wanted to build the house of the Lord. Wanted to build the temple for God. And he said, nah, you're not the one. We're going to wait till your son gets here. Sometimes he says, wait. Sometimes we have to endure hardship. Sometimes we have to endure trials. Sometimes we have to endure things. Whew, wow. We just don't think we could ever do it. My mother-in-law can't stand the sight of blood. She gets queasy if they give her a shot. I'm not throwing off on her. I'm just saying, she has a hard time. Has been to the doctor and give blood, or they took blood and they've had to bring her crackers and stuff and get her revived up before she could drive home. You remember all those times? I'm getting back at you now. Ain't you? But I seen her take care of her husband for 7 years and give him shots and do everything and take everything for her. God met her needs, encouraged her, gave her what she needed for the time. Amen. You might say, preach these things, I can't go. Yes, you can make through it. You can get through it. And we don't understand. We don't understand why God allows things. But I can tell you, through it all, he's there with you. Amen. Through it all, he'll be the strength that you need and the comfort that can only come from him. A mighty fortress is our God. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this day. And thank you for this psalm. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings and your touch. God, I'm so thankful that I can call upon you. I'm so thankful for the times you've intervened in my life. I'm most thankful for May the 10th, 1993, when I said, Lord, will you forgive me? Will you come into my heart? Will you change me and use me and do with me whatever you want? I'll trust you the rest of my life. I thank you. You accepted me that day. Lord, and I thank you, Father, for every time that you've intervened in situations when the day my dad passed away, you was that comfort that I needed. You was that comfort when my mom passed away. Lord, that you've been that comfort every hardship and every trial that I've ever been through. And I thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray you'll touch us here today. Father, whatever it is that we're in need of, we ask you to give us the peace and the comfort we need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
you trusted him today? I want to ask you this morning, have you trusted him in salvation? Has there been a time in your life you've said, Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins and come into my heart? Will you change me and make me a new person? If you've never prayed that prayer this morning, I encourage you and invite you to come to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe you're going through a tough time and you just need some extra graces. Lord, I need some extra strength. May it be that you've been saved and you've kind of got cold and indifferent. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're facing a hurdle that's too big for you to handle. Lord, it's more than I can handle. That's when he specializes. When it's too big for us, it's just about right for him. I'm going to invite you as we sing another verse. If you've never been saved, will you come today and trust him? Will you come and lay your burdens on him today, like he said and invites us to do? Will you come back and renew that relationship? See, there's a lot of times we pull off the side of the road. We could have been way on down the road a whole lot further, but we have pulled off. And we want to jump back in way down there. We've got to go back to where we left and pick up and go. Will you come today? Will you come?
Oh.
Are you trusting him today? Is there anything you need help with today? Will you come? Come and ask him to help you. He said to call upon him. He said to call upon him, to come unto him. Will you come today? In 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is the verse beside the song that Brother Richard had asked, are you washed in the blood? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Whatever we've been involved in, it don't matter. The history is history. Trust the Lord and he, his blood, will remove all sin. I feel led to sing one more verse. Will you come this morning? Allow his blood to move and take care of the problems in our lives. Will you come?
I'm so glad.
Jesus. praise the Lord. Does anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Word of testimony. Praise the Lord. Anyone else have anything on your heart? Thank you, sister, for being obedient. Anyone else? Anything before we go? Be obedient to the Lord.
And sometimes this may sound silly,
Are you sheltered today? Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? All the time. Amen. So our hearts and minds clear. Praise the Lord. Have you been glad to be in the house of the Lord today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll be back at the door, and I'll bump elbows with you, smile at you. That's worth a lot, I know. But so hearts and minds clear. Boy, it's been good to be with you in the service today. Let's go. Would you